Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Shay Conan, Chief Executive of 3D Biotissues, and Jeff Baker, Executive Director of BS Enterprise. Welcome back, gents.
Hi, Phil.
Good afternoon.
Hello, gentlemen.
So this week we saw the news that 3D Biotissues secured its first distribution agreement and three new customers for its patented CityMix supplement. Although initial sales are modest, this achievement marks an important milestone for the company, demonstrating product quality. 3D Biotissues has entered into direct sales agreements with two lab-grown meat companies and a biotech company, and it continues to evaluate CityMix with numerous cellular agriculture companies across 12 countries. The company plans to establish a web-based sales channel for CityMix in the coming months to aid its direct sales model, catering specifically to the cultivated meat market. This channel will provide information, FAQs, and data sheet. The company has also made progress in building indirect sales network, securing its first distribution partner, Abacus DX, covering Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. This is part of a strategy to penetrate the biotech and life sciences markets. Further European distribution partners are planned, expanding 3D Biotissues' geographic reach. Sounds like some real progress here, gents.
Yeah, absolutely. The business development team have been working behind the scenes. You know, we're working, bringing a new product into a developing market, so that brings challenges with it. But we're doing well addressing those and making some really good progress.
So you mentioned the initial sales obviously are modest. And is that something that you see as improving as word gets out about the product? And obviously you can scale up production. Plus you mentioned that the web-based sales channels for CityMix should obviously help facilitate that, right?
Yeah, we're just covering all as many bases as we can and having as many channels as we can to ramp up sales as quickly as we can.
And these sales are not just one-off sales, you know, they will build relationships with the customers and there'll be ongoing sales. And while they're modest at this stage, they'll certainly build over time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some of them are to companies in the cultured meat space. And of course, that's a growing area in itself. They all kind of link up. But certainly, we're building relationships with these people. Yeah, it's not a kind of one-off sale, as you were saying. So we're not working we're not spending our time on the consumables market, research and development consumables market, which is more of a kind of much higher, kind of larger amount with shorter return, shorter repeats. We're not taking that approach yet. We're actually leaving the indirect sales to pick up on those types of sales.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, isn't it, really? Because once people start to use this product and it has a positive effect on what they're doing, then, you know, the repeat orders are just going to be a natural progression. So it's almost like a snowball that you're creating that, you know, each additional sale is going to incrementally add to the total. But as it repeats itself, it's going to, you know, get bigger and bigger and bigger, you would imagine.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. As someone said, we're not selling watches. You know, they're not going to hang on to this and not buy another one for 20 years. It's ongoing.
Yeah. It's something that is going to be needed. And obviously, as people upscale as well, the amount of the CityMix they're going to use is going to exponentially increase as well in terms of what they're doing. I mean, is there any volume internally that you think that's the limit of what you can actually produce and then you will have to go outside to produce more?
We're addressing that at the moment. We're looking at different ways of increasing that capacity, and there'll be news coming through regarding how we're going to do that.
Okay. But there will be a limit, Evan, you're right. And when we'll go out to contract manufacturing once the borders are getting larger and larger.
And in terms of what you can do internally, have you done any sort of calculations to say, you know, what you produce internally will make you cash flow positive as a company or not, as the case may be?
Yeah, well, those aren't difficult calculations to make. But you're going to ask when the timing of that is and things like that.
No, I'm not so much the timing. It's more internally with what you will do yourselves. Will that make yourselves cash flow positive? As in you will be able to continue on your production and all the other things.
Yeah, the scope of potential users is large, beyond the cultured. It's pretty large in the cultured meat, but it's beyond the cultured meat. It's even larger.
Okay, very good. The CityMix really sort of is the foundation of the company in terms of revenue anyway.
But the real exciting part, obviously, is the meat and the leather. So you had said in the RNS, the last two RNSs, that basically contract has now been signed for the leather. So all I want to know is which country, which company, how much are they going to pay you?
All I can say is they're going to pay, and it's a good company. And it's beyond that, where it's highly confidential, they're very concerned about use of their name and also, I suppose, giving away trade secrets and opportunities and how they see they want to build their strategic development of the product or products. So it's a bit sensitive. As we've danced around this topic and we've been talking to enough lawyers and we're getting a bit jaded. So I think the best thing is not to
speak to push them. Don't push them, Kev. I mean, what drives a manufacturer to want to do it? I mean, what do you think is their kind of incentive? Is it the animal cruelty element of things, or is it just they want to be able to control their stock almost, or their supply chains?
I think it's going to be multi-purpose, if you like. It's going to be lots of angles. Yeah, they're going to be consumer-driven. So as the consumers become more in tune with environmental issues, which the younger generation are most certainly are, and a lot of the older generation too. But as new consumers come on board in these areas, you know, it's predicted that they'll have a lot more concerns around where things are sourced and et cetera. So I think that's a big driver.
I'm not a great purchaser of handbags, Phil, but I've been told that there are a lot of vegan bags for sale now and a lot of plant-based leather products. I think that's, if you're going to buy a leather product, you want to have to be leather, not synthetic. A plant-based material is, of course, not quite synthetic, but it's certainly not leather. What we can produce is the answer to leather producers' question of being able to give animal cruelty-free and vegan special version of leather, 100% leather animal skin available for them as an alternate product for their product range. And I think that's going to be a huge benefit to those leather companies that jump on this opportunity and move quickly.
Yeah, and I presume for these ultra, ultra high leather things, they want perfection in the leather as well, which isn't always possible on the hide of an animal. So I'm assuming that because it's lab grown, lab maintained, that the ability to produce almost flawless leather is also there as well.
Yes, that's right. Both are possible. So yeah, you could have the same look and feel. Every square inch would have the same look and feel for every other square inch. Or the inverse is where you can design in imperfections if that's what people want. You know, there's a case of making, you know, one case is that you make something look too perfect and it no longer resembles leather. But I know, like car, but I mean, I think I'm not an expert in that, because I think the car, like car manufacturers and things like that, high-end cars, they want, you know, pristine leather, and they want it all looking perfect. But there is a point where it no longer resembles leather, isn't there, in terms of if it's so smooth.
Yes.
So anyway, it's the basic point is that it's all possible. You know, messy leather or perfect leather is all, it's all possible. And that's part of the strengths of when you can rationally design something, then you have control over those parameters, which you can't, you have really no control over them when it's grown in a field.
Yeah, it's good. So obviously this is under supreme secrecy and NDAs and scared to sneeze just in case this company finds out. And I presume it's because this company wants an advantage over its peers, because there is only yourselves producing this as we speak.
We are certainly leading the way in terms of the 100% cattle-free products in the same way as we are in meats. And we think that's going to give a competitive edge in terms of the usability of the skin for leather production.
Great. So how do you see the meat moving forward as well in the next period of time, then, just to give people a bit of an update on that?
It's all going to plan. That's as much as I've got to say, I think, at the moment.
Okay.
Good. Well, we look forward to you coming back on and obviously updating the market in due course. And we'll say, Jeff Baker and Shay Conlon, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.